I'd like to call this meeting to order of the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees. I apologize. The time is now 7:06 p.m. It is Thursday, January 23rd, 2014. I'd like to begin by asking our administrator, Mr. Paul Wise, to please rise and lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm going to kind of mix things up a little bit and ask our Township Administrator, Paul Wise, to provide just a very quick update on the nature of the roads and our salt situation, because I understand there is a shortage of salt, not only here in Genoa Township, but throughout Central Ohio. So, yes. Paul, could you just quickly tell us what we can expect?
Certainly. Over the last week, with the sporadic snows that we've had in Genoa Township, we've dwindled down our salt supply. The supplies are very hard to get this time of year. The river is frozen over in some points. There's been a barge accident on the Ohio River. The salt supply comes up from Louisiana up the Mississippi River, and then it's unloaded somewhere around the Cincinnati area and unloaded onto trains at that point. We've been having trouble getting our salt, so our supply has dwindled down to currently 200 tons. We've been pre-treating our road with a beet juice salt brine mixture, and we'll continue to do so when it's not snowing so that our roads are safe for the community.
And I believe our guys have been out there pre-treating these roads for the last 2 days now.
Yes. So.
And didn't we send out a press release on this yesterday?
Yes, we alerted our residents
that we're
adjusting the method which we clear the streets. We're pre-treating all the streets in the township, and hopefully we'll save on our salt that way. We use, to do the whole township, it takes only 4 tons of salt mixed with the brine, and we add the beet juice to that mixture so that we can melt the salt at lower temperatures, and it's more effective. Since we brined the entire township last night before the latest storm, all the streets are clear this morning, so
with
the sun.
We'll continue just to do regular snow plowing as needed and that type of work, but some of the residential streets especially may not see the salt like they have in the past, but the main streets will still be taken care of.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate the message that went out on Facebook and other social media and through email and the press release, just alerting our residents. It's good to be transparent, even when the news isn't always entirely positive, but
At least it's a heads up.
Well, exactly.
Sure.
It gives people an idea of what to expect
so
they can take whatever precautions they need on their end to adjust to the temperature and to the road conditions. So I appreciate that.
Good job.
Certainly.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we will go ahead and move along. Tonight we do have a special guest. Actually, let me back up a minute. Well, let's go to the fiscal officer's report.
Okay, it'd be quick. I just have one thing. I'll have you sign it again. The year in bank reconciliation is completed. $13,437,445.61. The way that is, our pooled investments is $10,914,510.90, and with a primary balance of $2,522,934.71. Everything is balanced, cleared, and closed for the year. I will have this for you for your signatures.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Very good. Is there any public comment this evening? Hearing none.
For new business?
Sure.
No, go ahead. I have a question regarding, the sidewalk issue.
Oh, okay.
That'd be public comment.
It's public comment. So, if you want to,
let's
give you a microphone.
Well, we have to. We're on audio, so we have to make sure that everybody can hear everything.
If we could get your name and your address just for the record. So.
Sure. Jeff Wells. I live at 5623 St. Andrews Drive in the township of Genoa. And I was one of the lucky recipients of certified mail that I got last couple weeks, and was aware of the situation with my sidewalk. Actually, I've been in contact with Mr. Matthews about a year and a half ago about the concern I have with my sidewalk, and I know there were sidewalks on my street that were a problem.
Okay.
He assured me that you guys were aware of it. It was being addressed and trying to figure out what we were going to do. My situation is a little unique. That's why I wanted to come and find out what exactly is the proposal, how it all came to be.
Okay.
Because my sidewalk's deteriorating because of a tree that was planted by either the developer of Highland Lakes, the builder, or the township. I don't know who. It wasn't me. I bought it as a spec home. Tree was already there. Tree in the roots was what's causing the problem on my sidewalk.
Okay.
My bill was $800 and some. I understand there's some bills that have been out for over $5,000. And I'm a little concerned that that's being placed back with the homeowners, and how that all came to be is versus either having Highland Lakes Homeowner Association, the township, the three parties come together to figure out if there's an equitable resolution to fixing the sidewalk problems. It needs to be fixed.
Right.
It's a safety hazard. It's an eyesore. Right. But clearly there's issues with whoever planted these trees, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it wasn't the township, I can tell you that. So it would have been either the original developer of your neighborhood or maybe the previous owner of the house. I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I know it's not the township. We don't plant trees like that. I guess to give a history, I mean, a lot of these subdivisions were constructed around the same time. So we're seeing a lot, not only streets, but sidewalks themselves deteriorating kind of all at the same time. We tried to come up with some sort of a applicable standard to the sidewalks in terms of cracks. You know, some cracks are pretty wide, some of them are pretty narrow, and then there's some that have different separations. I think we came up with, was it like an inch and a half? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious rise or fall in the
We looked at other communities, Westerville, other communities in Delaware County throughout the state. We're not aware of any community anywhere in the state that fixes their own sidewalks. Sidewalks are the responsibility of the property owner, not of the community themselves.
Right, and I understand that.
Okay.
Okay, and if the sidewalk was damaged because of my negligence,
right,
I have absolutely no problem taking full responsibility for that financially. And if somebody were to happen to trip and fall on my property. But clearly, if you look at, I can only speak for mine, and I know my next door neighbor has the same problem with the tree. It's clearly the tree, the roots from this tree. Now, okay, it wasn't the township, and I understand that, and I don't know if the township required the development to plant trees along the roadway. And if it didn't, then the builder or the developer or the property did, because my St. Andrews is a pretty long street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's trees. These trees are planted all the way down the road. So it's clearly the developer or the builder.
Right.
Now, mine was a spec home, so there wasn't a prior owner, and the tree was there.
Mm-hmm.
I have another tree in my side yard that I have root problems with.
Okay.
So my only issue is that, you know, if it was my negligence as a homeowner, I'm responsible for that. But this is a situation where I think whoever put this tree there, I think it would be right to identify who that is and figure out if there's a remedy there, or the homeowner association.
Okay.
These are public sidewalks.
Right.
Everybody uses these sidewalks in Highland Lakes. People jog on them. They walk their dogs. Not every street in Highland Lakes has sidewalks. But, you know, I'm having to pay this out of my own pocket, but everybody gets to use my sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I mean, if it's a public sidewalk, do I have the right to prohibit people from using it then? I don't think so. So, you know, I'm not sure how the proposal came to be, but does anybody live in Highland Lakes?
No.
No, okay. But I mean,
we've seen it.
We know.
Yes,
right.
I've gone. Yes,
sure.
Right.
Does
right,
anybody
yeah,
who passed this proposal have a sidewalk issue?
Individually?
Yeah.
Individually?
Personally.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we...
Right,
because
I know the township, when I talked to Mr. Matthews, he said the tree, you'll cut the tree down. The township will do that at your expense. Because whoever fixes these sidewalks, the trees are going to have to all come down.
Right.
Either that or in 5 years, you're going to have the same problem again.
Well, yeah, okay.
So, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't aware of the proposal until this letter came, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. We passed, when did we pass this? Was it about a year ago? And I don't have all my paperwork with me, but there was a resolution passed, and I know that's included there in whatever was sent to you, yeah. Jeff, too. And obviously the concern is that safety concern. But as Rick mentioned, this sidewalk repair is the responsibility of the homeowner, and it's not different jurisdictions are doing what we're doing. I mean, we definitely checked and before we passed this resolution. And I don't know if it says I forget when we passed it, a year ago.
It was about a year ago because we started the process of at least doing an inventory of all the sidewalks mm-hmm. in the township, and that took us probably about a year to go out and examine all the sidewalks, measure the cracks, figure out which ones are the most egregious, which ones need to be dealt with first.
And then we had a newsletter article which you authored yeah. that spelled this out. That was last year too, because
year,
we
yeah.
did want to give people a heads up that this was coming. But again, you know, that safety issue. You mentioned the developer. Do you know who your developer was?
Well, I know who built my house, but I don't know who developed Tile Lakes.
Uh-huh. Maybe your association does.
That was the next question. Has anybody looked at, because in Highland Lakes, all the way down Highland Lakes Avenue from Route 3 all mm-hmm. the way down to Worthington Road where the clubhouse is, there's an asphalt path.
Right.
And mm-hmm. there's a ton of ash trees that were on that street that have been subsequently cut down, replanted. That asphalt pathway had a lot of issues with roots. Mm. And sections were cut out a year, 2 years ago maybe, fixed, re-asphalt, I don't know mm-hmm. who will pay for that. I don't know if that was a township or that came out of Highland Lakes Homeowner mm. Association, but it was the same problem. They fixed the path because of the root problem. It was a hazard.
I would imagine that would have been your HOA. It's whoever's yeah. responsible for that path.
Yeah, unless it's one of our trails, if it were one of our trails, but this wasn't one of our trails. If it was a trail, the Genoa Trail, we would fix that ourselves. But
Mr. Rose, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Let me ask, your situation, so you have a tree root running along or underneath your sidewalk, and it's pushing up the square. Is it broke?
Six squares.
Six squares.
I guess six squares that are affected. Now, about probably 4 years ago, 5 years maybe, I hired out one of those companies to come out and pump up the sidewalk.
Okay.
Before it got bad. I mean, I didn't know what was causing it. It was mm-hmm. just coming uneven. So I had them come out, and they did what they did. And they leveled it for about a year.
Okay.
Started to move again. They came back out less than a year later because it was still under, a year guarantee, and they right. fixed it again. But obviously, I realized, and they told me what the problem was. They, you can only do so much before
the trees.
And
sure.
So now we're at this situation. That's why I called Mr. Matthews over a year ago, trying to figure out what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my question. Did anybody, before the proposal was done, inquire with Highland Lakes Association, what's going on with all our sidewalks here? Because everybody is affected by it that uses these sidewalks. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody jogs on, walks their dogs, so everybody mm-hmm. gets to enjoy them. Not every street has them, so although I get to pay for it, and so do my
yeah.
neighbors, everybody still gets a joy. And I understand I'm a homeowner, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But we've been paying in Highland Lakes $200 a year ever since I've lived there since 1996.
Right.
The development hasn't gotten any bigger as far as land. A lot more houses have come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a ton of money somewhere.
Yes. Have you gone to your homeowners right. association and talked to them about this?
I've tried to inquire, not as diligently as I should have, and will now, trying to figure out, because nobody's going to take responsibility for planting these trees. I've kind of,
uh-huh.
that's passed.
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking for some assistance. I don't want to
sure.
say I don't want to do any of this,
right.
but I would think that together between the township or the homeowner association and the homeowners, that an equitable situation could be somehow come together to get this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you what, I mean, I can handle my bill. But if some people, like Mr. Matthews said, have gotten bills over $5,000,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to feel real comfortable writing a $5,000 bill for a concrete job
right,
up front.
Right.
It just,
yeah. There aren't.
I'm kind of surprised there's not been more.
Well,
there aren't many. That's very high. And there aren't many people who would ever end up paying that much. I forget what the average was. It was well below. It was even under 1,000, I thought.
What's the status of your tree? I mean, is this something that, it sounds like it's probably going to be an ongoing issue with the roots.
Yeah.
I mean, is this something that you would want the tree taken out?
Oh, it's going to have to come out. I'm going to pay to have this sidewalk
fixed,
oh, sure.
Which it sounds like for this proposal, I'm going to. the tree has to come out, because if not, it'll be a problem in
What kind is
years.
It, do you know? I mean, I'm not sure what all was planted down through there, if it was a silver maple or...
I'm not an arborist, not quite sure, but whoever did this, if they were an arborist or a... They should have known what kind of trees you can plant near roads the roots are going to cause an issue, because they're very shallow roots.
Right, and we've run into that problem. The types of trees were put in mainly because they grew fast. When they grew fast, the roots also stay close to the surface of the ground.
Right.
And so, you know, silver maples especially, a lot of the maples are that way. And so as, you know, we've gone in and we've cut out those trees and replaced them with trees that are a little more conducive to being along the streets, the same way it used to be the Bradford pears, which they're very beautiful trees. They're pretty trees. They grow fast, but you get a good windstorm or an ice storm and you've got dead trees all over the place because of the way the branches are. So, you know, we stopped planting those, and I've looked at other ones. So, unfortunately, you probably got a pretty decent-sized tree in your front yard if you've been there that long.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a nice tree.
Right. And that's the problem. You know, it's a trade-off.
Would you be able to remove the troublesome roots?
Well, I ask, and you probably have to have an arborist come out and see if you cut those roots. Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue to regrow that same direction? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't...
If it takes 10 years to regrow, though, that's, you know, I don't know how long it takes for those.
That's a good question that I can't answer, but and I don't know how much harm that would do to a tree.
Right.
I don't know if it would survive.
Sure.
You'd have to get an arborist to look at this, but I mean, some of the trees are different sizes. It's a big tree. It's a healthy tree, but it's obviously causing a problem. And my main concern was when you guys drafted this proposal. I wasn't aware of it, so I don't know if you guys had input with the folks in Highland Lakes as far as the homeowner association, or if this was just something that
I do know we had. We did have.
You guys went on your way.
We had residential complaints about the conditions of sidewalks.
Right.
I was probably one of them.
we have.
I didn't know
you guys were to the point where you guys were making decisions on how this is going to go, because I would have said, listen, the homeowner needs to take some responsibility, but let's inquire with the homeowner association, who is responsible for the beautification of Highland Lakes, along with the township, to see if the three parties can come together and figure out a way that this problem can be resolved, especially when it's not the homeowner's negligence. Now, some cases it might be, and that's a case-by-case basis. You went house to house to find out which sidewalks are bad, and you can look at a sidewalk and see what's causing it. Is it something, you know, out of the control of the homeowner, like a tree, or is it some other issue?
One of the other things that we've talked about is encouraging the HOAs and even neighbors to get together, because, you know, trying to find a contractor who will come in and do a bunch at once, and that way you keep your, you know, everyone's costs down, and there might be some things that I know we've talked about that ourselves as far as, you know, if the homeowner chooses not to do it and it falls back onto the township, I mean, that's the way we intend to do it, is you go in, you get it done, boom, once and you're done, and you get some cost savings. That might be something that the HOA would even be willing to work with on, is trying to get that coordinated and maybe even kicking in some, you know, contributing to that cost.
So if the homeowner does do it, they leave it up to the township. Does the township, the employees of the township, actually do this work?
No, we're going to contract it out.
Do we know who the contractor is?
No, we're going to bid that project.
It would have to be bid.
We have to bid.
I have contacted a couple contractors already.
Yeah, no, and we've encouraged.
Trying
homeowners.
To see how, because you guys give an estimate in your letters. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And,
Yes, and that's fine.
They
and
can't touch your estimate.
Oh, you mean it would be higher?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I'm almost reserved to say, let the township do it. Unless, like I said, the only reason I'm saying is you guys probably have more pull getting a, getting the homeowner association, at least identifying some response from them than one homeowner going in there trying to, because I don't know who all, I don't know who all got letters. I have no idea. And if they hear from me, well, that's great, and if they hear from two other people, but if there's 220-some letters that went out from what I understand, you guys have access to all that information.
So what would you like us to say to the homeowners association then?
That, that the township has addressed this problem with the residents of Highland Lakes. There's a homeowners association, and obviously the homeowners are getting billed for this, or liens are being assessed against their property, which, you know, that's not a good thing for anybody. And see if there's some ability with their general fund to, you know. Because we pay $200
with,
bucks a month.
With the homeowner's general fund,
Well, I think they need to take an active interest only because
there's so many people.
If there are residents that are going to be removing trees, it's going to alter the landscape of that community if you have lots of residents pulling trees out.
And I'm not going to plant another tree in that spot.
That's right.
I mean, and I don't want to stick a person to sell this house to in 10 years, too.
Paul, can we recommend that maybe that we have Joe reach out to the Highland Lakes HOA and express Mr. Wall's concerns and suggestions that maybe the HOA reach out to the other folks. I assume you have some meetings. There's a, probably a board that meets.
There is.
Okay. That maybe we could suggest at the next board meeting they get a notice out to the residents and have them come in and talk about it.
And Mr. Wells, and I say this, and I know it doesn't offer you any comfort at all, but we do offer the option ultimately of doing an assessment over a period of time on your taxes. If that's a route you choose to go, we know. We were trying to be as sympathetic as we could be to the financial situation. You know, that's not the way to start off the year, is to get a bill in the mail for $800 to, maybe $1,000 or so. But, for residents that are affected by this, if they would like to spread it out, I think it was over 5 years as we offered the assessment.
We never really talked about what a type of rate to charge the residents, and we were going to look to Pat or someone for support on, what is the assessment rate on that, if anything.
So could we take that step, Mr. Wells? I mean, at least initially.
We will. And we'll contact the homeowners association.
We appreciate you coming in.
Yes, thanks for coming in.
Listening, and I know you guys are doing your job. You guys are doing a great job. But this is obviously a little closer to my
interest. No, we appreciate. We definitely appreciate your taking the time to come in.
Especially on a night like this.
Thank you.
Seeing no other public comments, I do want to go now to our guest speaker, who has joined us this evening, Ms. Erin McClellan. Did I say it right?
Yes,
McClellan,
you did.
From the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, from the PUCO, and we've asked Ms. McClellan to join us this evening. We've had some interest expressed to us, both by some residents and by some marketers out there, in investigating aggregation options. Be it electric and or gas. We've spoken with some of our contacts up in Sunbury and some of the other communities and heard about what some of their situations were. But before we go any further with this, I think we would feel a lot better hearing from the state agency just about maybe the pros and the cons. What are some of the questions we should be asking? What should we take into consideration? I think if we go any further with this, and I say if in capital letters, I think we would want to maybe pull together a group of residents to do the research to explore what all is out there and to maybe make a recommendation to us as to what was the most feasible route. But I'd like to hear directly from you first.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me. I had met briefly with Paul maybe 3 weeks ago.
Thank you.
My job is generally promoting and educating people about energy choice, and that includes both the individual decisions and then the communities that are aggregating.
Oh, great.
So,
perfect.
Yeah, I have a short little presentation.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
This will just give you some of the basics, but then feel free to ask me plenty of questions.
Okay.
Um, energy choice, you already probably realize that it's the ability to choose your own electric or natural gas supplier other than your local utility. And it's actually been around since the late 1990s when the General Assembly authorized it, but it's been in recent years that it's catching on and more communities and more residents are choosing.
Okay.
So an individual can choose to switch their provider and businesses can do it. And about 52% of people in Ohio have switched to date. The other choice is through government aggregation. And that's basically you're authorized as a local township and local community to purchase power in bulk for your residents and businesses. And that, you know, the communities that have taken advantage of that feel they're getting a better price because they have a large group to bring. So there are, if you're going to take that step, you have to get certified by the PUCO as a government body. And there are strict requirements for doing that. The rules are all spelled out, and Paul would be aware of those. But just so you know, that's your first step.
Okay.
There are two types of aggregations. And one is called an opt-in aggregation, and that is where each customer is allowed to sign up individually for the program, and so they have to choose. They have to say, I want to be part of this aggregation. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in that, you can move forward right away with forming a plan. You have to develop a plan and sign up the customers. Obviously, you have to educate the customers about what you're offering them, but that route is not quite as popular as the other kind, which is the opt-out aggregation. And that automatically enrolls people unless they say they don't want to be part of it. So if you're going to take that route, you have to take it to the ballot. You need to bring it to a vote. And a majority of people have to approve it. If they do approve it, you form a plan outlining everything, your operation and management, and you have to hold at least two public hearings.
So the plan is developed after they approve it?
Yes.
So okay.
After the voters approve that it's on the ballot to consider aggregation. And then once you've got your plan and you've chosen your supplier, each person has to be notified that they're automatically enrolled unless they specifically opt out. And you usually send them a letter with a postcard that says, here's our supplier, here's the rate that you're going to get, and if you don't want to accept this, mail back this postcard or call this number. So it's incumbent on those people to send it back. There are a couple quick exceptions. People that aren't eligible are the people that are enrolled in PIP, which is a low-income plan, and also for natural gas. If people have already chosen a supplier, they are not eligible. They need to stick with their contract unless they want to pay the penalty to get out of it.
Okay.
For electric, they consider most customers eligible, again, excluding the PIP people, and they're going to provide, everybody's name is going to be on the list. So the government aggregator, the supplier, is going to get the list of everybody. Mm. And people who are in customer choice programs will get the letters, and they need to be aware that if they take your aggregation offer plan, they could have a penalty unless they call but negotiate that. Or some of these plans don't even have penalties. So that's kind of the basics. And then, you know, the goal of the buying group, which is you, are you looking for your lowest price? Is that what you're trying to get? Are you looking at sources of electricity? Some communities are interested in renewable energy. I believe it's the city of Cincinnati aggregated, and they're using all renewable energy as part of their plan. And then there could be additional services that you're going after. Number of group members, the larger groups are going to have better buying power. That tends to be why the opt-out aggregation is more popular, because people have to say they don't want to be in it, so it tends to be a larger group. And look at your length of contract, you know, when you're negotiating, how long is the contract going to be, and how when will it be renewed, and what happens after it expires? That's a big question. And then that's just our general number. You can call our call center at any time, and residents can too as well, to talk about aggregation. And we tend to get a lot of calls when the community has decided to either put it on the ballot or when the public hearing is held to talk about the proposed plan. I put together a little packet for you, and in the packet are just some resources, a general fact sheet on aggregation. If any of your citizens come to you and say, what is it? This is kind of a cheat sheet for you that lists everything I said, but in more detail. I just wanted to give you kind of the highlights. And then I put some maps in there. Mm-hmm. The PUCO website, which is a great resource for you, we have maps of all the communities that have aggregated. And you go to the website, I've listed the address in a handout, and you click on the community like Sunbury, and you can see what their contract is. You can see their letter that went out. Oh, you can see the terms of their agreement. And that's very helpful. So you can research what's going on around us. I believe Upper Arlington has had an agreement for quite a while. Or you can look around the state and just see what's happening. So we do that for both natural gas and electric. I think that saves you a lot of time if you're just trying to, mm-hmm. or your citizen advisory committee wants to see who else is doing this and what kind of deals are they getting. So our website also has some handouts just for the general public about what the aggregation is and why people are doing it. What else did I put in there? I put a more detailed PowerPoint because it could get, it got very detailed, and I didn't think you'd want to hear all the ins and outs of how to go on, you know, to that. So if you want to read it at your leisure, you can look at that. And a general brochure on energy choice. So I'd be happy to answer questions that you have.
Mr. Chairman, please. So in Delaware County, it looks like we have, I know we have Sunbury, and I believe Harlem Township. They get into it?
I think they just went on the ballot.
Did they just go on the ballot?
I think so.
It looks like there's someone else a little bit up north. I don't know who that would be.
In Berlin, maybe just passed, and there were a handful. There were probably half a dozen townships, I think, in the recent election that passed it.
Okay. So we have some townships in town. I guess I didn't realize there were that many counties that also had an aggregation program, and it looks like there's even some that there's some county, but then there's also some townships and municipalities. Is it possible for, let's say, if Genoa Township did go in and mm-hmm. we had an aggregation program and we had a certain rate, is it possible then for the county to come on and put an aggregation program basically over ours and maybe have a different supplier with a different rate?
No.
Okay.
No. It's up to each individual government organization, and so you would have your own, your township would negotiate your own agreement with a supplier, and the county can't supersede you.
Okay, so the county could go around us or in areas where they're not offered,
exactly.
But they can't layer one on top of us. Okay.
Somebody, one of our residents could opt out of our program and go under the county's, though, if one was in place, could they? Or
I'm not sure about that.
Maybe not.
I might have to check on that for you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, how do we know which suppliers give us the best deals? How do we find that out? Where does the information come from on that?
Well, you can go on our website and look at all the suppliers. We list them on the website. Certified electric suppliers are listed and certified natural gas suppliers. And that kind of gives you an overview of who's out there. But you are going to have to call these people. They don't have like a one-size-fits-all agreement.
Okay.
So you're going to have to do the legwork, or your committee is. Mm-hmm. Some people just rely, it seems, on the ones that come to them that are knocking on their door, sending them the direct mail. But it seems like, you know, if you want to have a fair kind of unbiased and get the best possible over you, you'd want to assign someone to check out the different rates and probably looking at what other communities are getting. Mm-hmm. You can find out, are they a reliable group or... Mm-hmm. You know, did they? Basically, they have to be certified by the PUCO.
That's what I wondered.
This.
If the suppliers have to be,
they do have to be certified by us, by the PUCO, in order to offer energy deals.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of legwork. You have to do your research.
I guess I'd like to draw on the expertise of our reporter Lenny LaPaolo. He's covered meetings in Harlem Township.
Okay.
In Sunbury, so he's really become quite knowledgeable on the subject. And if you could just tell us, Lenny, some of your observations and covering this issue.
I feel honored to actually meet you, Lenny, because I have sent you a number of press releases over the years, and you do a fine job.
He does.
In another capacity, in another job that I once had.
Thank you. Scott Bell Castro was at Sunbury last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Because theirs comes up for renewal, I think, in April or March.
It's March for Sunbury,
He said that Sunbury has 15%, with, I believe, on his on electricity, I believe, a $25 or a $50 early opt-out fee if mid-contract somebody decides to opt
a
out.
Termination fee.
Termination fee. Mm-hmm. And but he mentioned that six other entities he's working with right now are basically at 10%. So he's trying to talk Sunbury into just extending their contract unchanged, and he thinks he will not have as much difficulty refiling. I don't think he has to notify everybody if it's unchanged.
Mm-hmm. If they're not changing.
Yeah. Sunbury is asking him if he can get the Border Energy, the supplier, to agree to the 15% without the early termination fee.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said that if they do that, he would probably, because there is a change.
Oh, okay.
They would have to go through the whole notification process again.
Now, is that for electric or gas?
For electric.
That's electric. I had spoken at one time to one of the Sunbury officials, and I thought that that 15% is off of whatever the rate is. So, I mean, it's not a fixed price, if I'm not mistaken. So if the rate goes
15% less.
15% less than whatever the current rate is.
Current rate.
If the rates go up and down, you're going to get 15% off no matter what.
But it's not the full rate because there's generation.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Distribution.
Distribution. And
transmission.
And transmission. So it's off of transmission
okay.
and generation.
Okay. Transmission. Okay.
It's just off of generation, I believe.
Yeah. Transmission. Oh, generation, not transmission.
Just generation. And distribution and transmission are still regulated by the PCO, and those prices are fixed.
Okay.
So when you're
okay.
shopping, you're shopping for 50% of your bill because generation is about 50% of the bill.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
But it was explained to me that they were getting a deal no matter what. It wasn't a situation where you're locked in, and then if the market prices go down under your fixed rate, then you're paying more than the market. That will never happen in Sunbury because they're always getting the discount off the market rate.
But yeah, and they have about 800.
I think
I don't
you
have
should
the
probably
actual.
Call up the like Google their go to our map and look up their contract, and it will
sure.
say very specifically. It might say 15% off of the price to compare. And the price to compare is found on your electric bill, and it's kind of the number to beat that your regulated utility charges. So they'll always guarantee
mm-hmm.
that it's, I don't know if this is in their case.
Yeah, I know. It's anecdotal.
15%
so yeah, I don't know.
Off
yeah.
of the price to compare, so it would fluctuate a little, but it would be lower.
Aaron, the question I have is, what are you seeing? And I know you can't really compare electric versus the gas, but are you seeing throughout the state more success on either the electric or the gas side with savings? Is one worth pursuing maybe more than the other?
It seems like the communities are pursuing electric now because natural gas has been very stable for mm-hmm. a long time, the prices, and the mm-hmm. supply has increased, so there's not a shortage and so much of a fear of prices jumping wildly. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing more interest in the electric, and you're seeing a lot more aggressive marketing now by the electricity suppliers. They're really jumping into this arena now. So it's kind of a combination of them getting very interested because they think they can perhaps make a profit,
right.
and also electric prices have been creeping up, so people are looking for ways to save money.
Aaron, have you seen, and without giving specifics, communities or situations where there has been a government aggregation and boy, it just went wrong? And some of the causes for that, or
I have not, but then I've only been at the commission for 2 months, so
that's what I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask Lenny about Harlem because he has.
Yeah, and I don't have the numbers on the top of my head.
Okay,
but it appeared as if while I was making notes last night, when they were having the discussion at Sunbury,
mm-hmm.
Approximately half the people are taking advantage of the program, and they've had several opt-outs early on because they have their agreement is in the first 30 days people can jump out, and that was something between Scott and Border Energy without an opt-out fee or without an early termination fee. But they have 800 and some, and I remember that, it's 800 and some households mm-hmm. and businesses, because it's small businesses
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
But in Sunbury, of all of the customers that are eligible, 800 and some have taken advantage of it.
What about Harlem? Can you, because I actually...
Harlem trustees were a little disturbed about switching promises midstream. They were
okay.
promised, you know, the sales pitch was Sunbury's getting 15%, and then where the proverbial rubber meets the road and they started negotiating,
mm-hmm.
It turned into 10%, and
mm-hmm.
one of the trustees wrote, and I think I forwarded
yes,
that
you
letter
did.
To you, one of the trustees
mm-hmm.
wrote a letter to Trey Bell that he was kind of unhappy with the fact that he thought the wool was being pulled over their eyes a little bit.
Well, I think, too, there was the question of
He tried to get his name on the ballot, and he tried to sign them up before voters had approved, and the trustee said that, you know, we don't have to do anything until voters give us the authority to negotiate with you.
Hmm. Because then that would do away with the negotiation. I mean, if voters approve the, let's say, Trey Bill as the supplier, or not, I don't know if you call him a supplier, or as the...
Broker.
Broker.
He's a, yeah,
then
energy broker.
You may not, you wouldn't have the full range, perhaps, of suppliers, or
well,
the full...
Well, his premise was, if he helps... sends out the mailers to help educate
mm-hmm.
the residents of the township, then it would be okay for the township to, and it would be actually
mm-hmm.
Good practice for the township to hire him as their energy broker without negotiating a price, because you can't negotiate a price
wow.
until the voters give you that authority.
Okay.
But he was really pushing them fairly strongly to
yeah.
To pass a resolution making him the official township energy broker before
okay.
it was on the ballot.
Okay.
And
okay.
then actually, Carol O'Brien was at one of those meetings,
mm-hmm.
kind of watching the process and
mm-hmm.
if
yes.
there was actually some negotiating and prices being thrown around, which then you're getting into that little area where you're almost negotiating.
Mm-hmm. So he was, state that again, Lenny, so he was asking for a resolution to...
He wanted to be on the resolution that asked them to go on the ballot.
Okay.
He wanted the name Trey Bell on that. But not only, you know, and then I said afterwards at that meeting, I told the trustees, I don't think the Delaware County Board of Elections would have even allowed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they would have.
Lenny, up in Sunbury, isn't part of Sunbury's still under the Rural Electric Cooperative?
Yes.
Okay, and they, I mean, they're not involved
they're not
in this,
involved
so
in
they would be out.
Yeah.
We don't have that situation here, but did that play into what the total market could be? I mean, so
it's
is it
very a... very slim.
Yeah.
I think it's less than 10% of the
okay.
village is
so out of the
part of the cooperative.
800 and some homes that signed up for this, it's still a fairly high percent of the total available, or?
Yeah, you know, and I wish I had those numbers on me, but
okay.
it's something like, you know, coming out of the chute, I think a good 400 residents decided not to,
okay.
that were eligible.
Yeah, okay.
And again, I don't have on the top of my head the number of households.
Okay.
I know our population up there is about 4,350 right now. That would probably come out to about 1,800 households, 1,600 households.
And I don't know if either of you can answer this, but so what if the take rate is low? What if there is a large percentage of people that opt out of whatever the program is? Does that alter the savings? Does that alter the deal because you have a smaller pool now?
I think that's probably something that you have to agree on the front end when you're negotiating this
okay.
agreement with them, say exactly your question. Is there a certain minimum number that we have to bring to you to get that rate?
Okay.
And if not, what happens?
Okay.
So those discussions, those are questions to ask whoever you're negotiating with.
So then the resolution that would actually go on the ballot would be, say we'd want the opt-in or whatever the most common thing is.
Opt-out.
Opt-out's more common.
Yeah. So the resolution would say what then on the ballot to do that, roughly?
It would, yeah, it's specified in our rules, and I'm not the person that knows all the exact wording. But it basically says that you're passing a resolution that you intend to take this to a ballot, to a county vote, to pursue aggregation.
I think it declares
the exact wording.
The way I wrote it in my articles is you're asking the voters for the authority to negotiate on their behalf, which is essentially what they're giving you then when they give you the majority vote.
You know, I would imagine the Board of Elections has copies of those.
Yes.
Those resolutions from recent townships that we could get copies of just to look at the verbiage.
Yeah, find that.
Compare.
Yeah. Boy, that's a big distinction when to have name one broker versus on a resolution.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, the brokers that you're aware of in the state, how long have some of these been in business?
I don't really have a deep enough knowledge of that. I know that...
Because I know Trey Bell is fairly new.
Yeah. If you go on our list, which grows, it seems, by the day of certified suppliers, you would have to do your research and find out how many have been in business a long time and talk to other people that may have worked with them, even Googling them and getting some history, but you might have to call them and say, you know, what's your history here in Ohio and where are you located?
Now, but that's a supplier, not a broker, right? You wondered about the brokers.
The brokers, yeah. Because I was aware of the one that I researched.
Yeah.
I've been in business about 10 years.
Right.
And I think Trey Bell's been in business about 2.
Yeah.
And I found that out through Google or going to each one on the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, you have to do the legwork. You have.
Yeah.
There's no, like, one place.
Right.
It would be nice, you're right, if it would say, founded in this state.
Sure.
But, yeah, you have to do some research and...
Okay.
Word of mouth and Googling and research.
Aaron, is there any exposure for the government entity? I mean, say in our case, the township. I mean, so we put this on the ballots, approved, we put together the program. Is there any liability exposure or anything that could come back on the township as a result of these programs that you've seen or heard?
I haven't seen or heard anything like that. I can let me check that out with our legal person and ask him and get back to you. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard anything about that.
And I would say, I wouldn't think there would be.
Yeah.
But in today's world, who knows? And it sounds like also a lot of the communities go for the opt-out version, and so that almost puts more of a pressure on the township and everyone, and at least in our case, to make sure everyone is well versed in what they're getting into, so they can opt out.
Yeah.
And
often when
problems.
Communities are going through the aggregation process, they want someone from our office or someone to come in and hold meetings,
sure.
Like public education, which I'm already doing now, but
people
don't tend to care about things until it's really going to affect them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be happy to come
back.
So
you'd
and
be
do
available. That's good.
Yeah.
To do that.
Forum.
Yes.
And we are trying to talk to people. You know, I'm doing, if you have suggestions on groups I can go to, but we're trying to reach people through all the civic clubs and chambers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't hit everybody.
Sure.
That's our goal, though, to let people understand, because it is a complex process.
It might be an HOA topic. Mm-hmm.
And she's going to speak with our Genoa seniors also.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Right. I'm
okay.
Speaking with
them
it was suggested to me, I think, by one of the suppliers. Again, I don't know how to categorize it, but that instead of an opt-out program that would be applicable township-wide, that there may actually be individual choice programs offered out there that could realize the equivalent savings or... That might be worth at least exploring instead of a mass opt-out program. Now, I don't know if...
Do you mean just individuals choosing their own provider?
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that exists. Everybody can do that right now on their own. But again, if you don't understand the issue and you're getting all these direct mail things.
Yes, boy,
it's
we all get, gee, all
so that's
direct
where
mail,
we, in my presentation, that's more geared toward what is energy choice and what do you do to educate yourself. I direct people to, we have this great resource on our website called Apples to Apples.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that?
Yes.
So it lists for residents all the energy offers in one place.
That's great.
And
that's,
we're actually improving the website to make it even easier. And it will list business offers, too, for the first time starting in March. So, yeah then individuals, you can leave it to them and say, it's your decision if you want to do this or not.
So an opt-out program would be applicable not just to residents, but also to businesses as well. It is. It does not carve out commercial versus residential. It is.
It includes the businesses up to a certain level. Yeah, it's not like the large Hondas and all that. They have
industrial
their own deals.
Users.
The industrial users.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
And you will find out, I'm sure, from the broker exactly how they classify that. But it's most of your small business and medium-sized businesses.
So do people, like if we would do an opt-out then, or aggregate program, then do you always have to go through a broker to do that?
I don't have specifics on individual deals. Most people, government organizations, seem to be picking a broker or a supplier, but you do have the potential to handle it all yourself, that you would be the aggregator.
I would imagine it's,
possibly the broker, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we would be the ones going out seeking the supplier.
Well, you're going to be doing that anyway. I mean, you're going to, unless you decide that you want to be the aggregator and handle it all, most communities don't want to deal with that kind of minutia, it seems, so they go out and find a broker or a supplier that's going to do that for them. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I would imagine it's just like our health insurance, where we do have a broker in place that shops around for us and then provides us with options. They do the legwork and the research for us, and then we pick what we think is
I wonder, though, if certain brokers are tied to certain suppliers, you know? I mean, or if they can choose any supplier.
I'm not sure about that. Do you know Lenny?
He does.
We'll certainly need
I'll look into
that. Yeah, that would be great if you could check that, Aaron.
If you look closely, you'll find, I think.
Yes.
Some bias?
I do know, like, with Chambers of Commerce, just because this came up in conversation when I was setting up a meeting with the Worthington Chamber of Commerce director, and she said they have a special agreement through a broker, and they go through, like, Volunteer Energy or one of those companies. But the so they do have a relationship. All the members of that particular chamber that want to participate do. So I guess that's an exclusive relationship. But beyond that, I don't know a whole lot of other details.
Okay.
I'll find out.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Gosh.
Are there any other questions from the board?
No, that's great. Very helpful.
Yes, and I'm happy to come back and do more public forums.
Thank you.
Okay, good, yes.
Whether or not you want to pursue aggregation, just educating people on energy choice.
Right.
I guess the only other question is, it would have to be just the residents in, say, in our case, Genoa Township. So if we put together a program, we couldn't allow folks from Harlem or Westerville or Orange to also participate.
They really can't piggyback onto your program.
Okay.
I think that there are services that you can, as townships, share, like buying salt and things like that. But when it comes to aggregation, you have to still go to a vote. Nobody's allowed to go around that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Still that's a good question, though. Oh, great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Please be safe driving.
Yeah, I will follow up, too, with the things that I wasn't as up to speed on, because I am apparently new to this.
Well, there's a lot to learn.
This packet is outstanding, so
thank you. Yeah, the packet is great, too. Thank you so much. Yeah, that will be good guidance to us.
Well, I certainly would like to speak to maybe the Genoa Township Business Association and with some of our HOAs, just to get a feel for is there interest, is there outright opposition to doing something. I think
that's a good approach to check it out and see what interest we
could even put out a feeler on Facebook to see if residents have any opinions on aggregation in general. I'm just throwing out ideas. you know, and based off whatever feedback we get, we can see whether we want to pursue this any further. And by pursue, I would suggest convening some sort of a citizens advisory group to you know, look over all of this research that we're looking over and to help guide us. So
I'd say top priority would be the HOA association.
When's our next roundtable?
Yeah.
Do we have a roundtable coming up?
I know they've changed things.
Yeah. I think it's on a quarterly basis. So
yeah, that's
I don't
what I was thinking. Maybe March or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it may very well be, because I know ultimately it would probably be something that would go on a general election ballot, but, you know, time is not of the essence with this. So, you know, if we need to spend a year researching it, we can spend a year. So.
Yeah, right.
Good. Okay.
Good.
Great. Yeah. Well, let's move forward then. We are now into new business. Mr. Wise, I believe we have a couple of purchase orders this evening.
Yes.
Maybe just one.
Beginning of the year purchase order. Bob wants to buy in some more beet juice. And so the supplier for that is Road Solutions, Inc.
Okay.
So if the board could approve that purchase order.
Is there a motion from the board?
I am, Mr. Chairman. I'll make a motion to approve a then and now purchase order for to Road Solutions, Inc. in the amount of $4,618 for ice bite.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none.
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. The motion carries.
If you don't use it for the roads, we could use it for refreshments.
So. Yeah, gotta be good. It's actually squeezed out of the beets.
Is it potable? Yes. Whatever the term is.
Edible.
Oh, we ordered $4,618 of
beet juice.
Beet juice.
It's actually called Ice Bite.
Yeah, the product's name's Ice Bite.
It's called Ice Bite, but I believe it's a beet juice.
Oh, it's called
mixture.
Ice Bite. I C E.
Is there a volume?
Oh, yeah.
These would be, I think, four large totes of liquid ice bite. I think they're probably in at least 200-gallon containers.
Four large.
So
okay.
Each one is.
Thank you.
So it's a nice supply to get us through the rest of the year.
Boy, it certainly is. That's a good price.
Paul, are we still doing, doing a solution for, is it Peru Township?
They're just now setting up their system.
Okay.
They haven't been down to buy any yet.
Okay, so we, okay.
They're still setting up their
We are doing Liberty.
Liberty.
We are doing Liberty.
Mm.
Yes. Our salt, I mean, they're using our
salt
and, but there is they are reimbursing us or paying
yes.
us, yeah.
Yes.
Plus some. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Next up, under the fire department, they've received a donation from the Wallace family, and I'd like the board to accept that this evening.
That's wonderful.
I'll move to graciously accept $50 from Ronald and Lorraine Wallace to the fire department.
Second.
Seconded. Is there a discussion?
Boy, very nice. Very nice.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. The motion carries. And again, thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Wallace for their generosity.
Okay. We always send the thank you notes. Paul, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We do.
Okay.
We have one of our firefighters has provided evidence of his degree. He's got a bachelor's degree. And under the fire contract, contractual language under the educational supplement section, we're now we now have to pay him a 60-cent per hour supplement onto his current dollar amount.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to authorize an education supplement for firefighter Christopher Durst, increasing his hourly rate to 60 cents per hour, the current union contract.
Second.
Seconded. Is there a discussion? I'd like to congratulate firefighter Durst on furthering his education.
Yep.
Yes.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion passes.
Next up is the annual EMA apportionment. This year it's based upon population of 24,811, and it's 40 cents per capita on that.
And this is the Delaware County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
Yes.
Okay. I'll move to authorize a purchase order to Delaware County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management in the amount of $9,924.40 for fiscal year 14 emergency management apportionments.
Second.
Seconded. Is there a discussion? I expect they're earning every penny of this year.
Yeah, I would think. And also, Mr. Chairman, recently, I mean, even this past winter, early in the year, and then just really a couple weeks ago, we've been working very closely. The Department of Natural Resources has been working very closely with all of the, or a lot of the EMAs, including Delaware, on the dam situation and some flooding issues. Mm. And so even though Genoa Township is not immediately below a reservoir, although Alum Creek is close, and not that we're anticipating dam failures, but, you know, it is, when you see the EMA in action, you forget they're out there until you really do have a problem. And it is amazing with the processes they go through, how they're tied in with the state in the event of any emergency, so in the event of any natural disaster that will come through the county or township. It's pretty impressive to see what they're doing. So I think it's money well spent.
Interesting.
Thank you for that. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpani.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Great.
I see we have United Way update.
Yes, we received a thank you from United Way. We had a campaign at Genoa Township, and the total amount from this year, from 2013 pledges, was $1,242, and they thank the all who contributed to United Way. I do believe Mr. Carfagna was the largest single contributor, so congratulations to you.
It wasn't necessary, Paul, but okay. Well, no, I appreciate everybody who took the time to pledge to contribute to the United Way. They really are making a difference here in Delaware County through a variety of very very valuable programs. And, you know, a community as affluent as Genoa, you would think there maybe isn't so much of a need here, but you'd be very surprised. And it isn't necessarily just people in poverty or in financial type of need. You know, there's a variety of substance abuse programs, educational programs, a lot of things out there that people are taking advantage of, and we're grateful that they have those types of avenues out there for our folks. So, yes. In any case, appreciate that. We'll be looking forward to starting the campaign, I believe, in the fall. And I'm proud and grateful to our employees for getting involved. This is only our second year of doing it. We got nowhere to go but up.
Right. That's all I have.
Okay. So I don't know if there's any other businesses at this time, but I will go into announcements first. We have a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting on January 28th, 2014. The Parks Advisory Board will be meeting on February 5th. We will be offering our child IDs here at the Township Hall on February 12th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. State Representative Margaret Ann Rule will be conducting her office hours here at our Township Hall on February 12th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And our next regular trustee meeting is scheduled for February 6th at 7 p.m. One other quick announcement. I know Fiscal Officer Myers and I had the pleasure of meeting last week with representatives from the State Treasurer's Office. I don't want to be too presumptuous, but I will say that there is some interest at the state level in allowing for townships to expand their investment options to include municipal bonds. We're still a ways off on that, but there is some interest at the state level in empowering townships in that manner. We did have someone from the Ohio Township Association present as well, who is also helping to guide those efforts. So.
And Brian Carter, our investments rep, went and had some really, really good conversation with the treasurer's office. Educational both ways, back and forth, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were very excited that we took the time and right. kind of behind it as well as a township. Mm-hmm. Share what we're doing
great.
Today and what we think it can help us do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our township funds currently, they're invested in a variety of CDs and in government agency bonds. We kind of have a laddered approach where things are constantly expiring and being renewed at different rates and at different times.
Liquidity,
and we have money in our money market account as well. But you know, we're realizing about 2% interest. Mm-hmm. Revenues about 2% interest annually. I mean, over the last 4 years, it's been about $500,000, I think, total, which you know sounds impressive, but you know, it's really a modest return on those investments. And allowing for something like municipal bonds as another vehicle to invest in, we're mm-hmm. going to maximize those revenues and earn even more interest on taxpayer funds. So what I enjoy most about those revenues is that we're not getting them from taxes. We're not getting those
yes.
from increased fees on residents or businesses. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
but
the rate
it was,
environment we're yeah. in today, it would make a lot of sense. If it changes and the rates go up, and maybe CDs are the answer. But right now, mm-hmm. if we had that, we kind of talked about it just being a tool in our toolbox, the ability to kind of help mm-hmm. residents make more. So it was really good.
Yeah. So, again, I don't want to mislead anyone. I mean, I don't think there's any legislation imminent, but I think there is interest in perhaps moving forward again to mm-hmm. try to empower local government. So we'll stay tuned, but cautiously
Great.
Optimistic.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
Great. Any other business to come for the board at this time?
I have none.
Seeing, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn at 8:16 p.m.
Second?
I take that back. I will make a motion to adjourn at 8:16 p.m.
Oh, what? Oh.
I said I will entertain a motion.
Oh, sorry.
So
okay.
I'll go ahead and make that. I will motion to adjourn at 8:16.
Second.
We can sit here if you want.
Seconded by Trustee Lewis. Is there any
I'm against.
Questions?
Yeah, right.
Roll call, oh. Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms.
Aye.
Mr. Carfon.
All right.
Motion carries. Oh,
motion carries.
Aye. I did it again.